What's up, everybody? It's Mark from Dirty Honey, and you're watching CMS TV.
People, how are we?
People. I don't see any people.
Well, you won't on that one because we're not running the one that usually has that. We're only running Rumble as far as chat. Rumble and X.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that number is going to stay at zero, but it doesn't mean
that there's no Facebook today.
Facebook's running too. Facebook is running too.
Okay.
So I guess maybe if Facebook people come, you'll see them in there. But
somebody asked me if YouTube is back on because they said they saw that the channel is back or something is back or whatever.
I upload after, but we can't. I'm going to put this one in your hands. If you want me to put YouTube back, I'll put it back, but I'm not going to censor. I'm not going to censor.
Why not? I would never censor anything. I mean, I don't care if they get rid of us altogether. It doesn't matter to me.
I mean, if you want, I'll put it on right now if you want it. I don't care.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I know that Natalie quit altogether with Rumble. She's like, fuck it, I'm out.
Well, here we go. There we go. YouTube going live right now. Maybe. There we go. We're going live on YouTube. We're live on YouTube.
Who cares? I mean, I don't give a shit. But
I don't care either. Believe me, nothing would make me happier than if they closed the channel down. I don't give a shit.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah. People want to watch on YouTube? Go ahead until they cancel us. But they will cancel us.
There's a lot to talk about today.
Well, before you start,
yeah,
you know I'm a deeply religious man.
Well, I know that you studied religion.
Would you mind if I started with a prayer?
Please. Please go ahead.
All right. Everybody bow your heads, please, especially those of you in Ohio. Lord, I trust in you. I'm trying to do your work for you. I'm trying to keep people educated. But for the love of everything that you have made holy, can you stop messing with our weather? Jesus, and I say that in his name. Jesus, it's cold. It's almost May.
Look, I like
in it your like name. That. I pray, Amen.
Amen. But I like it like this. I hate to tell you, I like the like last time driving around. It's raining outside. I'm like, it's cool. It's raining. Freeze warning out tonight, dude. On Monday, you're gonna hate it. Look, we're like bigger guys. All right, let's just call it what it is. We're fat guys.
Yes.
And so on Monday, when it's fucking 82 degrees outside and your balls are sweating and it's dripping on your leg, you're going to be pissed off that it's hot.
Yeah, but I'm tired. You know what? I'm tired of the tease. This is like, God is like the world's strip club owner. He's just teasing me with the weather. It's like, okay, 60. Like, I'm good with about 70, 75, somewhere in there. So we get a day or two that's like 67, 68. It's like right on the cusp of perfect. And then we get today where it's, what, 40?
Yeah.
Feels like it's going to snow.
Yeah, but it's, like I said, a freeze warning. Some areas could get on like 28 tonight, I think. Yes. You're right. It's the end of April.
Just stop. It's please. Next week.
But I would much rather have like ballsicles than, you know, sweaty stuff.
Yeah, I don't like the heat either, but I have an air conditioner.
But then that costs a lot of money. The air conditioner costs more money.
Yeah, believe me, I know that's true.
I can cover up with a couple of blankets and get warm. I can't just get naked and strap ice to my nipples or something like that and expect to get cold.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not even the cold that I hate. It's the tease.
Yeah, no,
I'm hating this tease.
Yeah. I agree. I'd like it to be 75 all year long. If I could get 75 in clouds every day, I'd be happy.
Man, I lived in Monterey, California for a couple of years.
Yeah.
That was the perfect way. It was just that. Every single solitary day, it was 75 degrees. Never above 80, never below 70. It was 75 degrees every day. Always a little bit cloudy because we were right off the ocean. It was perfect. The only thing that was bad about it was it had heavy, heavy fog in the mornings. But other than that, you know, by 8 o'clock when that all faded away, it was perfect weather.
I'm good with jack-o'-lantern. I'm good at 50.
Yeah, 50's a little cold. If it was 50 all the time, I would adjust to it. Again, I'm not hating on whatever it is today, 38 or 40 or whatever it is today. I'm hating on it being 2 days ago I had my door open and it was 70 degrees.
Nipples, what are you guys talking about? I'm just saying, if you strap ice to your nipples in a hot day, it cools you off a little bit, but not enough that, you know.
Do you do that?
Well, I have on occasion, yes. So, I don't know if you heard the big news today.
What's that?
A lot of big news, but there's protests breaking out everywhere. But the big news of the day is that TikTok has been banned.
I heard it, but it's not banned yet.
I think they have 9 months to sell it.
Yeah.
And then if the sale is going through, then they have another 3 months to get everything worked out. So you got a year basically before you're not going to be able to post anymore on TikTok.
Well, first of all, that's inaccurate. I can promise you that with the money that TikTok people have, they're probably already calling every SCOTUS judge and paying them big amounts of money to. And really, you know what, man? I don't know how you feel about it. I mean, I guess I do because I know you're a big TikTok guy. But even if I wasn't, like, I'm not really into TikTok especially. I mean, I post things there, but I'm not really a user of it. Who the fuck gives the government the right to tell me what I can and can't look at, what I can and can't share as far as my information? You know, why does the government get to tell me what I can and can't share? Huh. We know TikTok is bad. We made a choice to use it anyway.
That's my whole thing. Is that, look, you know, if they're stealing information, you signed up for it. Don't fucking sign up for it.
Yeah. And it's not like it's a secret.
If you don't like your kids looking at it, what they're going to get out of it, whether they're influenced by it or not, then be a good parent and stop your kids from looking at it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that simple. I mean, you have a right as a parent to take away the phone from the kid and say, look, you're not going to use this. Sorry, no TikTok for you. Or you also have the ability to not sign up. If you don't want to use it, then don't.
Yeah.
But I hate to tell you, there are guys like me that enjoy looking at TikTok, scrolling through videos, and whether it's a hot chick that's dancing around or it's news that that aims towards me or it's just a funny story or whatever it is, I like it. It's entertainment for me. And somebody else will pick it up. They're on talking about Rumble actually making a
Rumble, yeah, Rumble rants or something, sure.
And you know, what they would do is like they would get rid of the algorithm that's out there, so it's not supposedly damaging to children.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Joe Rico here. The move's not about, it's about internet-wide censorship. I agree.
Absolutely it is. But here's the deal. Why is the Biden administration behind it? One, Biden fucking uses TikTok. They have a campaign thing that aims to kids on TikTok. If I want to ban, I want to ban because of that.
Well, I'll tell you why they want it banned from TikTok, because they don't control it. They control India. Yes, banned it. They don't control TikTok. Well, here's what I'm saying. India banned TikTok. I don't know if you're aware of that. Like a year ago, India banned TikTok. And you know what happened? Everybody migrated to YouTube Reels or YouTube Shorts and Facebook Reels. Who is more in the pocket of the government than Google and Meta?
Well, I agree.
So they're just pushing the traffic to where they can control it better.
But the only thing that they control on Facebook and stuff like that is the left. They put the left stuff out there and they censor people like us.
But they also but they can push it more. TikTok doesn't allow them to just randomly control who sees what. Dude, you use TikTok, and I know you. There's no way in hell are you looking up Democratic anything on TikTok.
No,
That being said, you get fed it.
No, the algorithm is such that I don't see any Democrats.
You don't see any. What about when you go to YouTube? You're the same person.
I don't really go to YouTube a whole lot, to be honest. Okay. I watch videos on YouTube as far
How about
as
Facebook?
That Facebook is generally geared towards the friends that I am friends with. I mean, that's what I basically see. I mean, I do see some junk, like Chisalco post something every now and then. Mm-hmm. I'll see, but he's a friend of mine on Facebook.
Yeah.
But as far as TikTok, TikTok's algorithm is such that I literally, you know, I use TikTok for a week, and then next thing you know, it's all videos that I like seeing. I don't see any bullshit from the left at all. Now, I know my daughter probably sees stuff from the left because she's Taylor Swift and all that kind of junk that she watches on there that aims towards the left. But at least there's a choice of stuff to watch.
Yeah.
Facebook, if we talk about the wrong thing on Facebook or YouTube, we'll be banned in 35 seconds.
Of course we will.
That YouTube fucking thing back up there. By the end of the show, there's a good shot that we're not going to be on there anymore.
Yeah, well, we're already talking about stuff they don't want us talking about.
I don't understand. Look, Republicans also put this in there. I don't know. It's Republicans and Democrats that are pushing for this ban on TikTok, and I just don't get it. I don't understand why they don't look at the fact that there are a lot of people that make their living off of TikTok. I mean, just whether you like it or not, social media is now such that
people, it's a business
whether
now.
They're young kids or people hawking products or whatever it is, people are making a living off of social media. And to stop – look, there's this one asshole that I watch – I don't even watch her. There's a couple of assholes on there that just kind of go through my whatever it is on TikTok, my little timeline, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so my For You page, and so I'm scrolling through, and I see this one broad. She's an idiot. She dresses up with a wig and has these like, you know, and just stares at you and has this weird voice that she talks in, and she does it for literally, it's almost like all in a loop. It's just nonstop of her just doing stupid shit. And that broad probably makes thousands of dollars a day doing what she's doing.
Probably.
And there's this other asshole. He's got like three teeth left in his head, and the rest is all like this grill that he has. He's got pantyhose he wears on his head. He walks around with no shirt on, and people are giving him like prizes and money and shit all day long.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, look, I wish I was that inventive and that creative to make that kind of money doing that stupid shit. So, but the government is, for whatever reason, going to stop people from making money and stop people from doing something that they like doing. Mm-hmm. The government should not be stepping in. I don't care which side you're on and telling you what you can or cannot say. Everybody should have the right to free speech.
Yeah, but they're trying to it's under attack. Free speech is way under attack. People don't want to admit it. All the lefties want to say, "Oh no, it's just misinformation. It's just hate." At what point did anybody decide? And I would love to know when the point was, what the year was, what the date was, when it was decided that if you have a webcam that you have to speak only truth and give only facts and can't tell jokes and can't do parody and can't be goofy and can't exercise a thought that is not everybody else's thought. But that's the world we're in now. We're in a world now where if You know, me and you, we did Fatty Fitness the other last week.
Yeah.
You know, and if you missed that on Minds, you should definitely check that out because it was funny as hell. That being said, in the government's world, that's misinformation. That would be considered misinformation.
Right.
Why? We were purposely being humorous. We were purposely being goofy.
Because there's a woman on the Supreme Court, a nominee by Joe Biden, who literally said about free speech, maybe it was a month ago, if that, who said, the problem with free speech is it hinders the government. Well, that was the point of free speech, is so that the government can't tell you what to say and do. I mean, that was the point of free speech.
Shit, that was the point of the Revolutionary War.
But her comment was, this First Amendment thing is hindering the government. Well, yes, that's the point of it, you dick.
Yeah, it's like, do you know how we formed as a country? To get away from government overreach. That's why we started our country. God damn, people.
And I get that. I get that it's not about TikTok censorship. It's about wide-reaching internet censorship. But they seem to censor one side more than the other. That's my problem. Especially, at least on Facebook and YouTube and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, those platforms are absolutely fucking useless if you want anything other than MSNBC-fed nonsense. If it's fed to you on MSNBC, you can see it on YouTube and Facebook. But if it's not, if it comes from any other source, then it's hate speech, it's misinformation, it's the devil.
See, one of the things I'm learning by doing this job that I've been doing now for quite some time, though, but being on the, when I say right, I don't mean correct, I mean the politically right side of things, is that the media is definitely not the friend of the right. So most assholes that are out there watching their TVs, going to work every day, working their 9-to-5, going home to their kids and everything else, they're not actually doing the research to find out what is actually going on in this country. They'll turn on their local news, their local bullshit, far-left news, and they'll listen to it, and they'll read the Cleveland.com, which is a fucking rag piece of crap magazine, newspaper, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's not even a paper anymore. It's a piece of junk, and a website's even worse. And the editor over there is an asshole. And you know, I hope he publishes that comment in his page. but if they stopped reading that junk and stopped listening to what the media is feeding them and actually looked at the facts of what's going on in this country, they'd be shocked and they'd be appalled by the government and by everybody that's running it.
Well, yeah, it's horrible, dude. I mean, we're being run by criminals.
Yes. To say
Let's call it what it is. They're all fucking criminals, period. They're all criminals. I've been saying that for as long as I could speak. As long as I've known about politics, I've thought they were all criminals. You know, it just blows my mind the stuff that they accept. And then when you see stuff like I was sending you earlier, who our leader is, our leader can't even tell the end of a line on a teleprompter and a cue.
Well, you sent me a video earlier today of you still, probably for the 15th time since his presidency, shaking hands with air.
Yeah, with a ghost.
When I first heard about TikTok ban, I was all for it. Then I realized that the TikTok ban is only the tip of the iceberg. Yes, it is. Watch out. Watch out.
Absolutely.
And I'll tell you what. Now we get banned from YouTube because also what was the tip of the iceberg was that bullshit vaccine and this COVID-19 crap where they locked everybody down. Yeah. That was the tip of the iceberg too. You watch, more of that shit is coming.
Oh,
you know,
of
there's the bird flu now that all of a sudden bit a whole bunch of cattle and now the cattle's all infected because they don't want you to eat meat. One, that's another one of the left.
Yeah.
They don't want you to eat meat. So now the cattle are all infected with bird flu.
Yeah,
now
allegedly. Allegedly.
Right. Now supposedly it's in the milk that you're drinking.
Of course.
Now we're all screwed.
Yeah.
So watch out. You think that TikTok ban is the tip of the iceberg. Those lockdowns are the tip of the iceberg because now they know that they control your ass and they're going to do it again.
That's right. Good point, Habu. His uncle was eaten by a cannibal during World War II, remember?
Yeah, I forgot. I have a clip. God bless America. And I don't know where it's at, but it's a clip of him. It's like a montage of everywhere that he says he was raised by Puerto Ricans. He was raised by, in a black church. He was raised by the Irish. He's got 19 different nationalities, and
he's an idiot. He's a bumbling idiot. You saw the? Did you see the other clip I sent you where he's like, four more years, pause. He reads the word pause. All right, let me find that real quick.
He's the best. He's the best in the sense that, man, he's a punchline every day. So, I mean, I guess that's good.
He's the best at being stupid. That's really what it is. He's the best at being stupid.
I mean, there's protests all over this fucking country right now of assholes that are saying that Israel must die and kill all the Jews and death to America and the NYPD is the KKK. One dick who's protesting actually walked up to a black member of the NYPD and said, "You're the KKK."
Dude,
is people don't even know why they're protesting, but my point is the president goes out there and says, "My support for Israel is ironclad." And then he says, "Well, there's some good people that are protesting too. I understand why they're protesting. I understand why they're upset. You're an ass."
Yeah, you know what? I remember another president telling us that he understood there were good people among the bad when they ran the people over in was that North Carolina?
Phil.
Yeah, and then they accused Trump of being a white supremacist over it.
And the problem is they even took that out of context. I mean, because that's all they do.
Yeah, dude, the left is out of control. It's just it's completely out of control. And I'm not a right leaning guy. I'm as central as they come, and I can't stand them. Here's our leader in action today. This is today. So this is not old video. This happened this morning.
Yeah, this is good.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years. Four more years.
Imagine.
Pause.
I would have loved it because the crowd's stupid too. That would have been great if the crowd started just going, four more years. Pause.
Dude, watch this again real quick. Watch the guy behind him. He's somebody, right? Like, I recognize him, sort of. But
yeah.
Well, look at him eyeballing the president. Like, look at this fucking idiot. But then he just lips it right with him. Watch.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Pause. Four more years. Four more years.
What an idiot. President's an idiot. This guy just pretending that he's with them's an idiot. Holy smokes. We are doomed, man.
Oh, man.
You better get that SeaWorld trip in quick, man.
No shit, right?
Before you're banned from travel. Pause.
Pause.
I do not want Seth Williams to post on TikTok again. Pause.
Pause.
That's our leader.
That's why I have the buildings behind me, because we are doomed.
You have to say pause now.
Pause.
It's like being on a CB.
Yeah. Honestly, did you ever think that you'd see protests in America on college campuses where people are actually chanting death to America? Look, I know college campuses are renowned for, you know, protests and bullshit idiots that, you know, think that they're better than everybody else. You know, Kent State had their shit back in the day, but it's all over the place now. People chanting death to America and people siding with terrorists. Terrorists, oh, by the way, that went into a country, started raping women until their pelvises broke, sticking items where they shouldn't go, killing babies, putting babies in ovens.
Yeah.
And this is who these people are supporting as they're marching on our college campuses. And in the meantime, I'm trying to get financial aid so my daughter can go to one of these schools.
Yeah, and for what? And the reason you can't afford it is why? Because all your damn money goes to fucking Ukraine.
Yes.
95 billion more.
Yes, and to have the government tell me what I can and can't watch on my phone, and to have the government tell me that I have to stay home. Yeah.
Yeah, it's out of control, man.
Wow.
That's one of mine, obviously.
Yeah. Mine don't seem to be out in force today. So.
No, yours are probably out there getting their last TikToks in. Yeah, that's the Rage Against the Machine cover guy.
There's a guy who lit himself on fire just the other day.
Oh, another one did?
Yeah, outside of the there's video of it.
I think they all should.
Outside the Trump courthouse, a guy went over and, I don't know, he pulled some flyers or some shit out of his backpack and threw them up in the air and pulled out some sort of liquid, dumped it on himself, and lit himself on fire.
I wouldn't mind seeing that with all the protesters at the campuses, really.
Yeah, lent yourself.
That would make a hell of a statement if they all burned themselves to death.
Yes.
That'd make a hell of a statement. I would think twice about my alliance with Israel or whoever I'm supposed to be aligned with. I don't even know who I'm supposed to be aligned with.
Israel is, I think, unlike the terrorists, I don't think you should align yourself with Hamas, the terrorists. And, yeah. I think Israel is probably the way to go on that one.
Well, this is how much I pay attention to it. I really don't know. I mean, I know what happened. I know that they came into Gaza and like started whacking people at the music festival or something, but I can't be bothered with this stuff. I know that's totally callous, but I can't get emotionally involved in this stuff anymore because it's so fucking out of control that to be emotional about it means that you think that there can be some sense that can fix it. Right. And I don't. I don't think there's anything that can fix it. So I just point and laugh at all of it.
That's my problem, is that I can't. I get...
You get
angry
mad
at night. I do. I literally sit there and like... My routine, because I'm a very routine person, is to when I go to bed, I turn on the TikTok and I sit there and I scroll through videos. And sometimes I do it to see if there's anything to use for this show or to send over to Bob for Bob Francis' show. And then lately, though, I keep just scrolling through and I see these videos of this sham trial with Trump, and I see these videos of these assholes marching the streets in support of terrorism. And I almost can't sleep at night. It keeps me awake, and so I can't watch them anymore. It's so frustrating to me to see where this country is going and has gone.
Mm-hmm.
This country wasn't like this back in the 80s. This country wasn't
of course not
like this when I was growing up, and even in the 90s and early 2000s, it wasn't like this.
Dude, it changed.
Wasn't Trump that did this?
It changed with Obama.
It did.
That's when it went to shit, was Obama.
He started with a ginormous government overreach.
Well, and the promises. And
bullshit like that.
He started even before he was elected with the promises. Remember all the people that were like, I'm going to get me an Obama phone. I'm going to get an Obama. I'm going to get a free phone. I'm going to get a free car. I'm going to get free everything. He started this and started people down the path of feeling like they were entitled to free everything. And now we're just fucked. Dude, any direction you look, we're fucked. I saw that $20 an hour minimum wage went into effect in California.
I mean, wait until that spreads across the country.
Yeah, that's it. Dude, I was watching, I watch Scripps News now a little bit. Because of this show, I had to pick up a little bit of news. I don't watch much, but I watch Scripps News because it's like the least... bias either way. It really is just kind of old-fashioned Walter Cronkite, here's the story, you figure it out type of news.
Right.
So I watched Scripps, and I was watching, they had on, they were showing a clip of some lady on, might have been Fox, might have been CNBC, CNN, I don't know which one, but they were doing a story about the Gavin Newsom putting the $20 into play, or it took effect, what, Monday or something maybe?
Right.
And they had this lady on, and she owned seven McDonald's restaurants, right?
Yeah.
Her reaction to it is immediately closing four of them. Yeah. Immediately. And that's one person. One. How many McDonald's are there in California? 1,000?
Yeah, probably.
1,000. She closed, what, 70% of her stores. So that would mean seven, if everybody's, and it won't be exact, but if everybody follows her path because they just can't afford it, you're going to lose 700 McDonald's. How many people are employed by McDonald's?
Yeah.
In an average McDonald's, would you say there's 30 people?
Probably 30.
So 30 people times 700. You're talking tens of thousands of people out of work.
And that's just
McDonald's. That's just McDonald's.
Not the only restaurant that's going to close places.
No.
There's going to be people all over the country doing that kind of stuff if this spreads everywhere.
Every mom and pop will close.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Well, dude, people are going to have to get around it. People are going to have to get with independent contractors and all that other nonsense. And then I'm sure they'll regulate that, too.
Chris, there's people that own McDonald's around here. They can't get people to work.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
And they are certainly not going to be able to afford to pay them $20 an hour.
Hell no. Well, think about it, dude. Where are all those people going? I'm going to put this into your world for a minute. Let's say that they did that here and 70% of the McDonald's is closed. Where are all those people going to flock? DoorDash.
Yeah.
But now there's not going to be, now 7 of 10 McDonald's in DoorDash world are gone.
The problem is that it's not going to affect just restaurants. I mean, this affects everybody.
Of course.
Every single
all the way down.
Look at the radio station that I work at. I can probably count how many people that are making minimum wage. Probably 10. Now, let's say that they keep everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But these 10 people that are making minimum wage all of a sudden now have to make $20 an hour. They were making 10 or whatever it is right now.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they're making double. Well, you think that the people like me are going to sit there and say, well, wait a second. I'm not going to have that person making as much money or more money than me. So now whatever money that I'm making that's not minimum wage, I demand an equal pay raise. I mean, so you're going to have to triple my salary of what I'm making, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's these companies are not – nobody's going to be able to afford this kind of stuff.
No, nobody's going to afford anything. How much are you going to have to
– Walmart already has gotten rid of cashiers for the most part. They maybe have 2-3 actual cashiers at a Walmart or a Meijer or even Giant Eagle now. It's
self-checkout. Right. Mm-hmm. Which leads to probably a 20% increase in theft.
Yeah.
Which means more cost.
Yes.
You know, and what's going to happen, there's going to be no, the other thing that's going to happen is there's going to be no new businesses.
No.
It's going to, I mean, dude, why? Why would I invest in starting a business?
Right. Which is why. Also goes back to TikTok. Now you're not even have a site like that to go to with your own business to try to push your merchandise. The government's going to control everything at some point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
maybe that's their goal.
Because that is their goal.
They're not stupid. They know that companies can't afford $20 an hour or $25 an hour. I mean, they brought out in California wanted to be $50 an hour.
Yeah. But
they know that they can't do that. The companies can't sustain that kind of cost.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be doing it with a purpose.
Yeah, of course. The scary part is that fucking Newsom that's doing all this shit. He's the likely candidate to be the president.
Yeah.
He is the likely candidate to win in November. Because I don't think it's going to be Puddinghead. I just can't see that. I keep hearing that June 13th is the day that they're going to stroke him down.
June 13th? Why? Why is that day?
It's on all the conspiracy boards that's the day that he's going to step down and say that he wants to retire and spend the rest of his older years with his family.
Oh.
And that's when they're gonna prop Gavin Newsom up there.
I swear to you right now
that
if one of these dumb bastards in Washington with the bird flu or some dumbass thing with Biden screws up my vacation, they are going to have a problem. And if you want to take that as a threat, I'm online.
Yeah.
So I probably shouldn't say it, but if they fuck with my vacation, somebody's getting fucked.
Well, I can tell you for me, I don't go on vacation like ever. I'm a nonstop working machine, as you're well aware.
Yes.
I was scheduled to take my first ever vacation, my first vacation in about 12 years, right when the pandemic started. Yeah. Because I was... I was featured in a movie called Inside Metal. It's like a documentary series.
Yeah.
And I was interviewed 6 or 7 different times in the movie, and I was going to go out to the red carpet premiere of this thing, right? And COVID hit. And not only did I get totally not get to do this, but the airline wouldn't give me my money back either. Even though everything was closed. They were open, but everything else was closed. And they were like, well, you should have taken the insurance. It's like, I should have taken the insurance. I should have what? Expected the world to shut down?
I was supposed to go to Disney World, actually, with my entire family, my dad and everybody, my daughter, my wife and everything. And it got shut down because of COVID, so I missed out on that. But at the same time, I kind of got saved because I didn't have a driver's license at the time. And I'd basically been lying to everybody. And so I wasn't going to be able to get on the plane.
Right.
So it kind of saved my ass from a horrible, horrible experience that I would have had to go on through.
Didn't save me. It cost me a whopping $1,200. Because I bought, you know, since I was going on a vacation and on a trip that I don't normally, you know, I don't normally travel, I went all out. I bought the first class tickets with the lay down seats and the fat guy seats and every, you know, I paid all the money that I could possibly pay to make it right. And I got screwed.
Yeah.
And they just were like, well, if you don't make your flight, we can nothing. We're not going to give you nothing. The flights are flying.
It's the tip of the iceberg. I truly believe that we are going to be seeing a lot more of government control as we head down this path. Unless, by some miracle, Trump gets out of jail and gets elected.
You really think he's going to jail?
I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, these fools, I mean, you listen to even some liberal lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
And this case that he's got going on right now about hush money or whatever, they say that this Alvin Bragg has literally twisted the laws into pretzels to be able to get some kind of felony charge against him, considering that the DOJ and everybody passed on this case. Nobody wanted it.
Yeah.
Except this fool who was probably told by, you know, mashed potato head to go out there and charge him with something.
I'd like to see his finances
and everything else.
Wouldn't you like to see his finances 6 months from now?
I don't even care anymore. I want to just see what I just want somebody else in office.
No, not his. I'm saying this judge.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to see what happened. I'd like to see how this judge goes from having, you know, $100,000 in the bank to like $18 million 6 months from now. You know, because of good investments like Nancy Pelosi. Fuck out of here.
Yeah, she's something else, too.
It's all criminals, dude. It's all criminals.
She's the one who came out and said back in the day that there's no way that Biden could actually, you know, pay off student loans. There's no way that he's the president. He's not allowed to do such a thing. And now I'm sure she supports it. Everybody's fine with it.
Of course. Of course.
We're going to have an MMA guy on here shortly.
I can't wait for that.
He is going to log on shortly.
Okay, good.
So looking forward to that. Now this is an up and comer.
Yeah, it's not John Jones or
Chuck Liddell.
Yeah, it's not Chuck Liddell.
But you know, this is an up and comer. I think he's undefeated. We'll ask him all about it.
Yeah, Anthony Monashino.
Now we're we're sports fans, I guess.
Yes,
your boy, hang on, I got to get this out. Your boy, and we may have to get him on at some point. I hope he was fucking around.
Who?
John.
Why would he say?
John Greg Bloom, doggy guy.
Yeah.
I saw a post the other day, and he said, LeBron James is the best basketball player I've ever seen in my life.
I guess he started watching about 2010, I guess.
He doesn't believe that, right? He was fucking around with somebody.
I have no idea. I don't talk to John about basketball, really. But it would not shock me to know that John was lapping LeBron's balls, though.
I mean, seriously, you know, like he said something very nice to me on, like, I posted something about the 2-year anniversary of my leg and stuff, and he posted something very nice and said, "Hey, Seth, you're a good dude, and glad you're around," and it was very nice,
right?
And so I was, oh, thanks, man. You too. You know, Listen, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Okay, I know Sandy knows I'm doing a show, and you're calling
and now you can't find the button to turn it off.
Like, seriously, you know that I'm doing a show. You said we're going to watch your... Whatever. What was I talking about?
LeBron, James, and John.
And so he said something so nice, and then I'm scrolling through, and I see somebody posted something about LeBron James, and then he posted, he's the greatest basketball player I've ever seen in my life. And I'm sitting, all right, and I have to take back every nice comment that right. I could possibly say.
Yeah, I mean, come on. He's not even top three.
No.
Kobe was better. Of course, MJ was better. I would say Wilt Chamberlain was probably better. Kareem.
Magic.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of guys. Look, I put Larry Bird above LeBron James.
Larry Bird's another one. At least Larry Bird, at least everyone we named there doesn't cry every time somebody, you know, touches him with a fingernail or something.
I think the other day he's laying on his back in tears. It's the playoffs. You know it's the playoffs when he's laying on his back crying.
LeBron is a bitch. Let's just call it what it is. He's a bitch. You know who's not a bitch, though?
Huh.
Anthony, the MMA fighter who's going to be on next. This is a badass. This is a badass. Well, let's play a quick spot. I'll play it, and then we'll bring him on here in just a second. So hang tight, everybody, and we will be right back with the Seth Williams Show.
Are you looking for a way to support the Seth Williams Show? Get your Seth Williams Show merchandise today. From coffee mugs to clothing and everything in between, our high-quality merch is the perfect way for you to not only support the show, but show everyone what is the greatest show going today. Just go to shop.thesethwilliamshow.com now, shop around, and buy some great merchandise from The Seth Williams Show. Shop today.
And right back here.
Yes, we are. Well, let's talk some fighting, man. You know, you could not have pulled a better guest for me as the combat fight fan of all time, man. So,
yes.
So let's welcome to the show, Mr. Anthony Monachino, I believe. Anthony, oh, there you go. Anthony, how are you, man?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How do you say your last name so we know?
Monachino, but Monachino is okay too.
Well, we'll get it right. Well, dude, tell us. I have a million questions because I am a combat sports freak. I mean, and when I say freak, I'm the guy that watches every Power Slap event, BYB, BKFC. I have a sub to UFC, PFL. I'm into it.
That's deep.
But before we get into how you pick federations and all that stuff, man, tell us about you and tell us about, you know, how we can support you.
Well, I mean, I'd say the best way to support now is, since I'm still so early, is just like if anyone can come to a show, that's the best, or there's always pay-per-views. But as far as right now, that's just, I mean, following on Instagram or whatever, anything like that is the best. I mean, we're still so early. I can't have anything huge yet.
Right.
Now, how many fights have you been in?
Well, for MMA, I've had 4 fights.
And what is your discipline? What's your main discipline, I guess?
I came in as a wrestler, but I've been kickboxing for like 2 years now. So usually I'll kickbox in my fights, but I had to wrestle this last one. So really, I'd say it more so like MMA. Like, I'm mixed pretty well.
Right. Yeah. Do you prefer the full range, you know, like I'll give you the example. Like I watch a lot of, as I told you, I watch them all, but I watch a lot of O&E, that one MMA that they do on Amazon. And I love that because they break it down not only by weight, but also by discipline. So they, you know, I think that's better in a way because you get guys that are not only evenly weighted, but also evenly skilled. It makes for a much competitive fight. How do you feel as somebody that's kind of still feeling your way out? I mean, do you feel like you'd like to concentrate more into one, or are you cool with the UFC method of whatever? I'm in here to kick ass.
I mean, one would be awesome, but I think everyone's ultimate goal is probably going to be the UFC, but one would be awesome too. I think that's really interesting. I had no idea that they like made matchups based on the disciplines, but that's a really cool idea. I feel like it'd be hard to base my discipline. I mean, do they have like...
Oh, no, you went away. Oh, there you are.
A wrestler and like a wrestler division in one. Like, I know they have grappling.
They have the grappling matches. And they also have submission. Like, they'll have like grappling, submission grappling wrestling and stuff like that too. So
hold on, I lost like my sound. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Connect and come back.
Hold on, I'm gonna. Can I like leave and come
yeah,
back?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Don't leave. I'm like way into this.
See, I'm hesitating because I don't want to like ask a question. Like
no, please, ask.
Like, no, I'm saying I have a question, but I don't want to talk about it now.
Oh yeah, right.
So we'll wait until he comes back on.
Absolutely.
Right. This stuff is interesting to me, and I'm going to ask him about that.
Okay.
There he goes.
There you, there you are.
Sorry about that. All right. So
we're going to tell Sandy to not call your phone while we're doing an interview here.
Yeah, I had to let everyone know.
all right. So I'm really interested in, you know, he knows all the technical stuff and all the leagues and federations, whatever you want to call them. Now, yes. I'm just interested in your kid. How old are you?
20.
All right. So you're a kid.
Yeah.
And you're growing up and you're looking at the stuff on TV. What makes you say, I'm going to go kick the shit out of somebody for a living? Like, I want to just kick the fucking hell out of somebody's face and I want to get paid to do it. I mean, well, what makes you do that?
I mean, all right.
Pardon my language, by the way.
You're all good. I think, firstly, it would be like, since I was a wrestler, since middle school coming up, it was just kind of the natural next step because I didn't want to go to college for wrestling. Okay. And I knew I'd be good at something that wasn't like wrestling. I still needed that kind of like grind, I guess. And then I'd say the other reason is like, of course, everybody loves attention and like shit. Who wouldn't want to be famous? And this just seemed like the least like pussy way to do it. If you can do it this way, it's like you've actually, I feel you've earned a little bit of recognition. So if you can really get up there like this, then it'd be like, yeah.
See, now that's the reason I would do it. Like, I would get into UFC or something like that today if it meant I could just sleep with one of the ring girls. I mean, that would be like, if that was my contract. If my contract said you're not going to make, you're going to win 8 whoppers and you get to sleep with one of the ring girls, I would climb into the ring tomorrow and take on the biggest punch I could take. And I'd be happy with that. So I get your point. I mean, that would be awesome.
It's not written in the contract, but I think fighting definitely helps you in that department. For sure. Maybe not the ring girls. I've never personally been able to spit game to a ring girl, but
nice. Well, dude, what I guess organization do you fight? Do you fight for more than one, or are you fighting just in one now? What are you in?
So as an amateur, I'm not like signed to anything, but I have fought in the same organization, I think, for 3 out of 4 fights. It's called Made Men Promotions, and it's like mainly an Ohio one. But we got they do events out of state, too. I've done a good amount of kickboxing fights, but for MMA, it's just that one organization. Kickboxing bounces around to a lot of different ones.
Right. I guess classifies you as an, I mean, obviously it's money, but what makes the difference between being an amateur fighter and stepping up and being a pro fighter? Is that a decision you can make, or is that something that somebody else makes? They see you and they offer you a job? I mean, how does that work?
It involves the commission, the state commission. My coach was telling me like soon enough since I'm not 4-0, they're probably going to try and make me go pro if I go like 5 or 6-0, probably 5-0. So the main difference, as far as I can tell, being a regional professional, I'd be fighting on the same cards I fight now. You'd just be fighting at the very end, probably like the main event. And then I'm really not sure if they get like a show, like a set amount to show and like a set amount to win. Because we don't get paid as an amateur. We don't get paid anything. Besides, like ticket sales, I get a percentage of the tickets I sell.
Okay.
So I don't know if pros are getting paid at these little regional shows like that, but the main difference is the rule change. Just head kicks are allowed, knees to the head and elbows, which would be really nice.
Right.
Now, see, I wrestled one time in my entire life. I wrestled in middle school. The first day of practice, some big black kid picked me up, slammed me on the ground, and broke my arm. So that was the extent of my wrestling career. What does it feel like when somebody's coming at you and just punches you square in the face? I mean, does it hurt? I mean,
it feels wonderful, Seth.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe he's got a face like built like iron. I don't know what it feels like to get punched in the jaw. I mean, I don't know.
That's interesting. I mean, getting there's like different ways punches hurt. Getting punched in the jaw and the chin doesn't hurt the way pain traditionally would hurt. It doesn't, like, it's not sharp. It doesn't sting at all, but it's like kind of makes you feel a little sick almost in the body, like dizzy, your equilibrium's off. Whereas, say, if you're like holding someone down, hitting them in the face, like not on the chin, but in the face, of course, that's going to do more like actual just pain, where it's like you're just smashed, like you're getting your face hit. It sucks. That would hurt.
Now, is it your goal to inflict pain, or do you just want to win? Because if I got out there again, man, I want somebody to hurt by the time I'm done with them.
If you can knock him out, you want that. And that's going to be the, like, it looks pretty bad, but you don't really feel a knockout. I mean, at least from my understanding. If you can't get the knockout, then I think the next best is just cause as much pain, because it's damage-based scoring. So whoever does the most damage is the winner, or it's supposed to be like that. So
right. And if you watch enough of it, you do notice when a guy is getting the hell kicked out of him, even if he doesn't, you know, get knocked out, you can see him fading. And it's not fade, it's fear. It's like, oh, I don't want to get hit in the ribs again. I don't want to get hit kicked in the face again. You know, you see him pulling back in more distance. Like if you watch it a lot, you see it. It's almost like a self-prevention fear that just takes you automatically, right?
It's like, yeah, I'd say the natural response to try and put your guard up, defenses up. I think the times where you can save yourself is by going against that and then kind of throwing yourself back into the fire if you're getting pressured hard. Of course, it's easier said than done, but
right.
if you can get a takedown, that's even better. That'll just stop them where they are, but
right. Well, Anthony, how much of fighting is the actual fighting, just the, you know, the brutality of the fighting versus the actual skill and practice and, you know, knowing if their arm goes here, your arm goes there so that you can get them into a lock or a headlock or whatever? How much of that is training versus just brutality?
You guys are asking the right questions, that's for sure. Knowing a lot of people ask some weird stuff, but this actually makes good sense to me. I'd say it's like a 60-40 split. I think 40 of it would be technical. You got to be, of course, very technique-based, but like, and again, maybe more so at the level I'm still at in amateurs, but most of the times it's just the tougher, stronger person with better cardio who can just eventually break the other out. That's usually how it goes. But at that higher level, the more technical person can end the fight quicker, usually, like with a knockout or what have you. So I think I'd rather be tougher, stronger, and that over better technique, but
okay,
it is of course really good to be technical.
Like sure,
super important.
Go ahead, Seth.
I know that you're 4-0, right? But have you ever taken a shot where you're like, shit, man, this guy's pretty tough?
Yeah, I mean, it was the first time that happened was this last fight I just had over the weekend. I like 15 seconds in, and I pride myself on like being a good kickboxer. I really don't like to wrestle in my MMA fights, but he caught one of my kicks and he like kind of walked it towards me like he was going to do a trip, but he let go of it and he threw like a hook cross down the pipe, and they both got me pretty good, and that dropped me, and like that was 15 seconds in, so that was the first time I'd been dropped in a fight too. So I just went straight into wrestling mode and just wrestled them. And that was easy enough, but yeah, I'm happy I took that shot though, because it let me know like I can take one and then keep going. Because I hadn't been hit like that yet.
Do you watch other MMA, factions, whatever league it would be, and try to learn from it? Like, do you pull a piece here, pull a piece there, and like even kickboxing? Do you watch Glory on Pluto or whatever, just to see what the different guys do?
I think a lot more people do that, but I'll casually watch probably just UFC.
Okay.
And then that's how I got into it, is just watching UFC. But I don't know, I've kind of watched it less and less as I've done it more. I think that makes sense, but
sure,
all the fighters I know watch it all the time, so I don't know, everyone seems to still be super, like, I love fighting, but at a point, you know, they're not all always the most exciting bangers of fights, so, you know.
Right.
No. But you gotta pick and choose which ones I'm going to.
I hear you, man. Well, dude, and this is, maybe it's once you get a little more known and a little more famous, this will probably happen, but I've talked to a few fighters that have talked about when they go out and people know that they're a fighter, there's always the asshole in the bar, the asshole in the restaurant that wants to call you out, you know, in front of their girlfriend or whatever. Oh, have you had any of that yet?
More so like the opposite, dude. People, I mean, cause I'm only 5'6" and you know, like my hair like this, and I like to go out dressed up pretty, you know, whatever.
Right.
And, so people will usually try to start some shit, and then whatever, someone in the entourage or some shit will mention that I'm a fighter, and that's when they'll always, as so far, always are trying to be buddy-buddy after the fact.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't look very intimidating. They should be able to tell. My cauliflower ear is definitely there if you know to look for it, but no one ever, I don't know. They definitely seem to be less aggressive when they find out you're a fighter, though.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't tell anybody though. Fuck that. I mean, I'd let that guy take one punch and he'd be out, and I'd be taking his girlfriend off. I mean,
you gotta use that to your advantage. It's too dangerous nowadays. It's too dangerous nowadays with every lawsuit and every
concealed
carry.
That is true.
That's right. Dude, one of the things with outside of UFC, I guess, and so maybe you haven't even considered this, but all the other federations in all the different disciplines tend to fight a lot more outside the US. There's all kinds of Bulgaria, Thailand,
Brazil,
you know, and I know a lot of it is because the athletic commissions here have not come around to what goes on there. Yeah. Have you thought about that, you know, to get your start when you turn pro, that you might have to do a lot of travel, and how that will affect everything from how you train to, you know, costs and everything else?
No, that's very good a point. I've done a good little bit of traveling for fighting, but it's all been in the country, so
okay,
it'll definitely be and I'm sure I'll have to go out of country. A bunch of my teammates, not a bunch, but like two of them, actually my coach's daughter, she goes all the time, but last year both of his daughters went to Italy to represent us, the USA, and the world's kickboxing.
Okay.
That was really cool. But yeah, I mean, training, I have not considered that. It's going to be really weird to try and work training while traveling. I mean, I've done it like when we went to Orlando for a tournament. We were able to work it out down there, but I could, if travel takes like more than 1 or 2 days and it's, you know, not far from a fight, It's going to be weird with cutting weight and everything that last day of travel, for sure.
But, well, let me suggest Thailand, because I've seen some videos of the girls in Thailand. And so,
make sure that there are girls.
Well, yeah, but you know, not first, but then they are extremely good looking. So
yeah. Oh, trust me, my coach, so he, one of the guys at our gym, Matt, he went to Thailand. He's going to be there for a few more months, but it's 4 months in total. And he's just there for training. He actually just had a fight up there and won. So my coach was like, before I go pro, he really wants me to go up there for like a month. And I'm like, I would. Like, I got to quit my job to do that.
All right. Well, if you need a guy to carry your bags, I'll go with you. Explore the land.
Trust me, I already have my one friend, John. He's like begging me to go every time. it would be awesome. Thailand is a place that I might have to go. I'd love to go there. I got friends who live out there, so I would love to go there. It's just I'm kind of waiting on this whole, like, because I like my job. I work in HVAC full time, and it's a good job. But like, I'm waiting, if I were to get like an offer from like one or something, then we could, you know, look into exiting that and going into fighting. Right.
Do you get scared going into the ring? Do you get scared? I mean, like, I would be. I know the adrenaline's probably pumping and all that kind of stuff, but if you're sitting in front of a guy that wants to kick you in the face, I mean, it's got to be a little bit worrisome at times. I mean, do you have that fear, or is it just, I'm going to go in there and kick the crap out of this guy?
I think it's kind of like the same butterflies as, like, anything else. But you do, I think, get less and less nervous as you get closer to it. Like, for the whole week before, you find yourself laying in bed before you go to sleep, tensing up, like squeezing your fist shut, just imagining what, you know, scenarios that could happen.
That's but why I got to go to Thailand.
Don't make me not. Yeah.
Yes.
Get it out of
Max
me.
Going to the ring.
It is. But no, what, as you get closer, I think I get more confident. And then once you're in there, you're all good. I mean, I felt really good this time around, even though I got dropped, and that fucking dropped my confidence a lot in there. I still felt really well.
Right on. Dude, do you have a timeline for turning pro? I mean, are you looking at the end of this year or earlier than that or later than that? I mean, what is your plan?
Probably be later than that. I know we want to wait at least until I'm like 21. I'll be 21 at the end of August. And okay. So my next amateur fight is going to be August 3rd. And that'll be a 145 title fight. And I think if I'm 5-0 as an amateur, I might try to get to like 6-0 or maybe even 7. Because we want to get as much experience as an amateur possible before going pro. At least, you know, that makes the most sense to me and my coach. And so I'm saying probably like a year or a year and a half.
And when you do turn pro, is the goal to be MMA? Would you consider another discipline? Would you consider kickboxing? Would you consider bare knuckle? Would you consider any of those things?
Yeah, I would. Like, of course, the money's right and I'm in the right position for it, but I am definitely a better MMA fighter than I am like a kickboxer or a boxer. So okay. I am a really good kickboxer. Like, I won the Waco National Tournament just this past, I don't know, whatever. I won the novice division, but still I did well. So I am a good kickboxer, but like, these guys are pretty freaking good. I like having a fallback of wrestling in case they're really good. But
I don't know if you see, but Sandy, I think one of your friends, Sandy Scott, just checked in and says, "Love you, aunt." So you might want to watch your mouth and not swear anymore.
Oh, I did see that now. Live in there. Oh, hey, Aunt Sandy.
She hears us swear every other day, man. It's okay.
Sure.
Nice.
No stranger to it.
Exactly. Well, man, is there a part of your game that you feel is not ready to take to the next level yet? I mean, do you think that you need to be a better striker or a better, you know, submission? Or maybe it's just in your head. Maybe it's just, I need to think quicker.
Well, yeah, it's honestly all of that. I mean, I just, so the first one would be jiu-jitsu. I am really good at grappling, but like, I'm not great at jiu-jitsu. There's a difference, you know. I need a better submission game would be nice for sure. And a better bottom game would be really well too. Mostly my ground game is mostly all formed around like getting up. Like if somebody were to take me down, it's just getting back up. Aside from that, yeah, just getting more comfortable fighting. Like, it's so different to have a kickboxing match. I can flow really well in that and do my combos well versus the MMA match where I have different gloves and no shin guards and they can take me down if I'm too exposed. I'm not nearly as like willing to let loose, I guess.
Right. Let me ask you one more, Anthony. And this is real, you know, technical, I guess, but you could probably explain it better than I can watch it. I see all these different shaped rings, shapes, sizes, you know, the glory one, as an example, the glory square one looks massive. I mean, it looks so big compared to regular boxing ring. And then now you got the octagon and you've got the circle that Bellator uses.
The karate PFL. Combat one.
Yeah. And now the trigon, the triangle one, which that's got to be brutal.
I would not want to fight in that.
Yeah. I mean, does it make a difference to you? Not only just being in it, but does it make a difference how you prepare knowing that, you know, it's different angles and there's different amounts of spaces that you can work in?
The only one I would really prepare super differently for would be if I was going to fight in a fucking trigon.
Okay.
That just seems ridiculous. If you get put in one of those corners, I don't think you'll be able to get out, but, I prefer in any fights, I prefer in a cage. I've done kickboxing fights in cages.
Okay.
And I think I like that more than a ring. But as far as like circle versus octagon versus square goes, I don't think it's too big of a difference. I'm sure it'll come into play in the fight, but when you're in preparation, you aren't too concerned. Because at this level especially, you don't even really know what it's going to look like.
I mean, right.
is there anywhere that people can watch your fights or see your videos or anything like that?
The past ones, you can just see like clips from on my Instagram. But for like future ones, it's going to be on, depending where I fight, probably like mademenpromotions.com usually is where they're held at. Cool. But yeah.
Man, we thank you for coming on today, dude.
Thank you so much for having me.
Looking forward to your next fight. We're looking forward to keeping up on your career and seeing you kick the shit out of some people, man, because that's what I would say.
Dude, so, come back on like the week before your next fight so that we can promote it and get people to watch.
That'd be sweet. I could do that. So, yeah, it'll be like the week before, I guess, August 3rd.
All right. Yeah, we'll have you back on. We'll talk about it and get people watching your fight. So
absolutely. Awesome.
Thank you so much again. I enjoyed the question. So
all right, great.
I would love to come back on.
Thank you, brother. Anthony. And don't forget, I'm going to Thailand with you.
I'll have to get a bigger carry-on.
There you go. Thanks, Anthony. Nice.
Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye. He's a good dude.
Yeah, he was great. Dude, I could talk. I literally texted you that we had to jump out because I was going to talk right through the Masaccio segment.
Yeah, we have Tony coming up in a little bit here.
I love this stuff. I live for combat sports, man. I honestly watch it every single day, almost all day. I love it.
I just love hearing, you know, when we have these guests on, whether it's a guy like Anthony, doing the MMA stuff, or it's a guy like, yeah, Mark Ferrari the other day, you know, a rock musician for how many decades and everything else. I like talking about the behind the scenes bullshit.
Sure.
I like hearing about, like, I thought it was great that the guys talk about nailing chicks and stuff. I think that's, yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, helping them get famous and everything else. I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, well, he's 20. Ask him at 25. He won't talk about that no more.
Or, yeah, wait till he's married.
Or wait till he's in the UFC. Then he'll be like, oh, you know, everybody should be treated equally. And
yeah, I swear to you, one leg at all. Dude, I would take my prosthetic leg off if they said, here's the deal. I hope my wife isn't listening to this one. You can fight in the UFC for one day. Name a fighter. I'll take him on. I don't give a shit.
John Jones.
Heavyweight division. I'll take him on. And your contract consists of you will get free Burger King for an entire year, and you get to sleep with one of the ring girls. Sign me up. I'll take the punch in the face.
I don't know, dude. I could show you some.
What are you going to do, make me uglier?
I could show you some of this bare-knuckle boxing or the bare-knuckle fighting. That would make you think twice. Dude, first of all, the bare-knuckle, where he was talking about the trigon, the triangle ring.
Yeah.
That's called the BYB, the Bear Backyard Brawlers thing. It's like the hottest thing right now. You can see it. All their fights are on YouTube for free. So if anybody wants to check it out.
A lot of TikTok, there's Backyard Brawlers.
Yeah, the BY. Well, this isn't Backyard. This looks like the UFC, but it's just called Backyard Brawlers.
Okay.
But it looks like the UFC. It's all in a ring, and it's all official and whatever. But it's in this little trigon, which is about one-third the size of a regular ring. And it's a triangle, so if you get stuck in the corner, you're stuck. You can't, you know how like in regular boxing or MMA, you can go from side to side or whatever, you know, yeah, you can shift. You get in the corner, you're stuck. You got to come at the guy to get out of the corner. And the knockout rate on this thing, 90%.
Really?
90% of the fights end in knockouts.
All right, well, then I'm going to have to check out some of that stuff.
Oh, it's brutal, but I love, love, love it. That's why I was asking him, would he go into that? And notice he quickly said no. He wanted nothing to do with that.
Yeah. I haven't seen that. Maybe after 5:30, we can check out some of those videos.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it in the bonus.
In the bonus coverage. So if you haven't signed up for on Minds, MINDS.com/Seth Williams Show.
That's right.
Do so, because 5:30 to 6 is bonus content, but you have to pay for it.
That's right.
So we might even show some of those Backyard Brawler videos. I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it at 5:30 here. We'll
5:30 to 6. Check it out.
Yeah, but I love it, and I like talking to. I'm with you as far as interviews. I like talking to everybody about behind the scenes stuff. Dude, we got a movie director next week.
Yeah, yeah,
that's gonna be great. That'll be good. Todd Tucker. From the movie Rock Bottom, that's out now on Amazon Prime.
Is that on Amazon Prime? Okay, good.
Yep.
I'm gonna check that out before we talk to him on Monday. We have, look at us. We're spanning the universe of,
that's
of
right,
celebrity, whatever you call it.
Rock guys, movie guys, athletes. We're getting them all.
Power slap, MMA. We're all over the place.
Yeah, we are everywhere. No, Jim, that will not be on Locals. That is not part of the Locals thing. This is for the Seth Williams Show, not the Chris Aiken Show.
Come on, man, get it right.
Yeah, it will not be on the Chris Aiken Local or the Classic Metal Show Locals. No, we're not going to show porn, Habu. Jesus.
Oh, we could do that. That'd be nice. Minds.com, MINDS.com/Seth Williams Show.
Yeah.
Check out the extra content. Sign up right now so you can watch 5:30 to 6.
That's right. And I posted some bonus content earlier today, dude.
Yes, you did. Look at that.
I'm not going to say what I posted about, but I saw a story that I was like, I think the audience would like to hear about this. So I went in there and riffed for 10 or 15 minutes on this story. And
you also, yeah, you can also check out Fatty Fitness.
Fatty Fitness is up there as well. You know, that's up there as well, too. So,
which if this podcast thing doesn't work out, which it doesn't appear to be doing, we might have to go to the Fatty Fitness idea.
Yeah, we might have to. We might have to incorporate that. You know, we could have as our dietitian,
our nutritionist, Tony
Masaccio. Tony Masaccio could be our nutritionist at Fatty Fitness.
Are we going to play his thing in the video? Because he's ready to go.
Yeah, we got it. I'll do it. I got it. Here we go. So hang tight, and Tony will be with us in a second right here on The Seth Williams Show.
Assured Window Cleaning specializes in window cleaning, chandelier cleaning, blind cleaning, gutter cleaning, and post-construction cleaning. In business since 1947, Assured Window Cleaning has proudly been serving its customers in Cleveland for 75 years. As a family-owned and operated business, Assured Window Cleaning has built their reputation on trust and delivering the best results possible. When you need window cleaning services for your home or business, contact Assured Window Cleaning. We're one of the top window cleaning companies in all of Cleveland for both residential and commercial. Visit our website today at www.assuredwindowcleaning.com or call us at 440-989-0122 for a quote. And remember, everybody knows Tony. Contact Assured Window Cleaning today.
Stripes after Sunday brunch buffet. I'm starting off at the dessert table. Look at this chocolate fountain with Rice Krispies, with strawberries, marshmallows, cookies, cheesecake. You can actually just cover a pretzel. What a cool place. It's only $35 every Sunday morning. Unlimited buffet. Check this out, guys. They have homemade flatbreads, pizza, ravioli. The Brussels sprouts are to die for. Seth, you would even love the Brussels sprouts. Chicken, macaroni, sausage, bacon, potatoes, eggs, biscuits and gravy. They also have for the kids french fries and chicken. It's only $17 for the kids. They also have bagels, croissants. Look at this buffet. Shrimp. They have salads. They have a caprese salad. They have salmon. Everything you can actually ask for on a buffet. They also have waffles. You can get cut roast beef, ham, and then you can make your own omelets. How cool is this? Guys, again, I am here live at Pinstripes every Sunday between 10 o'clock and 3. They also have a craft mimosa. It's only $20. Everybody knows Tony. Here live at Pinstripes for the Seth Williams Show. Tony Massaccio here, live at Cleveland Food Bank. This is their brand new facility, 197,000 square feet. This place is packed with food. They have vegetables, fruits that go out every day throughout northeastern Ohio. I am here now live at Cleveland Urban Wines, which is located in Cleveland Heights, a great winery right here in Cleveland. And of course, my friends at Melt Bar and Grill, located in Avon and in Lakewood. My friend Matt, you gotta say hello to Matt Fish. He's got the chip dip and the kettle chips. Is that what we have there? French onion dip. So again, I am here live at Cleveland Food Bank. This is their once a year benefit. Thousands of people walk through this door and donate a lot of money, a lot of time in volunteering for those who unfortunately do not have food in Cleveland, Ohio. Tony Massaccio live for the Seth Williams Show. Everybody loves and everybody knows Tony.
Well, my other foot and my wallet fell off looking at the buffet. And, let's welcome Tony in.
All right.
How are you, Chris? Seth, nice to see you guys.
Hey Tony.
So before I got on, what was this Fatty Fitness? Tell me about this. What the?
Well, it's an idea that we came up with. Unfortunately, you have to subscribe to the extra content, but we're going to start a new Fatty Fitness Center with Chris and I, and you're going to be our nutritionist.
Perfect. Because I may be the third fatty with the two places I just left. I don't know, around town this week.
I don't know. You would get to come and work out at Fatty Fitness for cheap, Tony. We're charging 10 cents a pound. Yeah. So
Yeah, you'll be all right. I think you're going to be looking at it like soaking wet. You're going to pay like $16 a month. You're okay. How you doing, Joan?
Good. You know, you should also offer like free pizza on Fridays. And maybe a keg in the corner on Saturday. People will come.
Hook a little keg thing up to each treadmill so they can have a beer while they're walking.
Yes, it's perfect. Oh, that's too funny. I got it. With that being said, when I was in 12th grade, I started working at Vic Tanny's, which then became Bally's and Scandinavian.
Sure.
And it started off many years ago as Jack LaLanne, which came out of California. So yeah, it was in Southgate. They were in Menor. They were in Parma. So I was in 11th, 12th grade. I was 17, 18 years old. I became the assistant manager. First, I was a pool guy. I cleaned up the pool like on weeknights after school. And then I became like an instructor, which was a joke. And then I became the assistant manager, and they gave me the key to the place to open up on the weekends. I am 17 years old. I just met Mary Jane. I'm smoking her. Having parties late at night on Fridays and Saturday nights. I would open up the place, and it would be filled with cheerleaders, football players, and classmates throughout the entire place.
That's awesome.
It's wonderful.
It's funny. I had a buddy who worked at the Bally's over off of Chagrin Boulevard.
Yes.
And like it was a lifeguard or some crap at the thing. And yeah, I was just his fat friend. And he would let me in whenever I wanted to, just sneak me through the back door. And so I went for like a year without paying a membership at that place. Sad part is I didn't lose a damn pound, not one. I just went in, looked at the chicks that were working out. It made me swam every now and then. But I'd go in for nothing the entire time. But yeah, I didn't lose a pound.
So again, I mean, this was 40 years ago. I can talk about it. That's when I got into the not only smoking marijuana, but I was selling the marijuana for $20 an ounce. And I was selling memberships and making a crazy commission. Like there were $1,000 for a year then. You know, now it's like you're just talking about it's $10 a month. And people don't even show up. Well, they showed up then. You know, they showed up in the beginning of January where everybody wanted to lose weight. So anyways, I was making $100 commission on everyone I sold, which was a lot of money then. Sure. You know, you'd sell 3-4 a week, and I'm a high school kid. And then, you know, throwing the marijuana sales, I had a little sports car, brand new sports car by the time I was in my 20s.
You sound exactly like me, man. When I was 13 years old, I used to work at a church, St. Joan of Arc Church in Streetsboro, cutting the grass and weeding the flower beds and stuff. And I would take my $120 that I made a month from there and go buy a bag of weed and sell it in school and make $500. And I, you know, I was 14 years old. I had every stereo piece, every album, everything that everybody was jealous of, doing the same exact thing just as a kid. Pot pays.
Pot does pay until you get caught, like I did.
Yep.
But I had $500 in my pocket at all times, and I would go to an airport and just jump on a plane.
Wow!
I mean, I'm writing a book. I got to still write this.
Yeah, you should write a book.
Yeah, it would be especially my. You know, again, the 63 years I've been on this earth, born and raised in Cleveland. It's been fun. And you know what? It's still being fun doing what I do with you guys and, of course, being on the radio on Saturday mornings.
Sure.
So, again, I was at Greater Cleveland Food Bank Sunday. They have their big gala, which they have invite every celebrity locally from radio to television. It was $200 for a VIP ticket to get in. Wow. And, of course, you know, I don't pay for any of these, which is a perk of being on the air, especially talking about food. And they had like a bunch of raffles, which I usually buy stuff, you know, obviously since I'm able to do it and I try and get like golf outings or whatever and try and, you know, support the cause. So anyways, I just ended up giving them a check, which I usually do by Christmas time. And they raised, so this is the best year they've had. They raised enough money, listen to this, guys, to feed 1.2 million meals this year.
Wow.
1.2 million meals in Greater Cleveland.
Good for them. That's awesome.
That's great.
Awesome. Isn't it cool?
You know what the sad part is about that whole thing, though, Tony? you can raise that kind of money and that's awesome, but they can't go out and support Matt's restaurant to the rest of the year, and he has to close them. That just stinks. You know what?
It does stink. You know what? That's a great point, Chris. Those who have the money, you know, are not supporting those locally, but again, they have the write-offs, which they do for all these charities, and every little bit counts to every freaking business. And it is a shame what happened to Matt. What a great guy.
Were there were there any cool radio celebrities out there?
Yeah, Bloom Daddy.
I said good radio celebrities.
actually, Munch was there. He was actually
bartending. I love
he's the best. Yeah. So actually, it's kind of cool because I always go as a guest there. So they said, you know, you always support this thing. Will you be like a guest server for us next year, whether it be a bartender or help out like Orlando Bread, and, you know, pass out food? I said, absolutely. You know, again, I would love to, you know, I love to give back, you know, just like we did for Coats for Kids all these years. So right, again, you guys did the recording of me being at Pinstripes, which that is their Sunday brunch. I've talked about it before. This is a great value. It used to only be $28. It's still a great deal. For $35 every Sunday, you have a line full of food, from pastas to chicken to omelets to roast beef to ham, and you have a two-hour limit that you can be there. So, Seth, you got two hands.
yeah, but only 1 foot to give, Tone. I looked at some of those desserts and croissants and all that kind of stuff. I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, I'm walking out there with my wallet on the floor along with the left foot.
I was ready to just, guess what? If the people weren't there, I would have put my head in that chocolate fountain. And they had to close down the entire buffet.
It's funny.
It was fun. It's really cool. So,
I could make a chocolate mold of my prosthetic leg.
Yeah. So again, I mean, and you know what? It's interesting. I am not a buffet guy. I would rather, especially with all the restaurants I go to, I would rather eat something of a quality meal in opposed to quantity. But sure. I do, you know, but I love to go there and just get like an omelet, maybe a slice of roast beef, you know, and maybe some shrimp. And I love salmon, but everything else, I mean, the pizza and the ravioli, you know, I can make that and I make it better. It's hard for me to go through that line and eat those particular items.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I'm a buffet guy. Hence the reason I look the way that I do. I've always been a buffet guy. Yeah. But the problem is now, I mean, honestly, I can't eat like I used to eat. I used to go to a buffet and I could sit down and I could go up 5-6 times. Now I go up one time and I'm sitting there going, all right, I got to get my money's worth. So I go up back up 2 more times just so I make sure that I'm losing cash on the deal. I used to be a buffet guy, not so much anymore.
Yeah, I think it really comes down to the food itself. Like, if it's really good food, like that place like Pinstripes that you were at, that looked like really good food. I think that I could deal with, like, and I'm not picking on these guys necessarily, but Golden Corral, I don't need to go there ever again.
No,
you know, just because that's assembly line. And there's a difference between assembly line and a quality buffet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, buffet you were at looked like almost like a casino buffet kind
of. Yeah.
They do a great job. They also have bowling on the same floor there. There's bocce ball upstairs. They have a beautiful patio. They've actually became our friends. It's kind of cool. We were there for the grand opening, and they only had an invitation of like 500 people, like 1,500 people showed up. I mean, they couldn't stop these people from walking in the door. And the line was so long. Flash and myself were there. And Flash came a little bit late. I'm already in the line. He said, "We're never going to eat." I said, "We're going to eat." So I found one of the servers who was at another place that I'd worked at before. And of course, everybody knows me in the industry. I said, "We're going to eat within 20 minutes. Sure enough, I told this guy exactly what we wanted. He had two plates in front of us and we're sitting down and the line was getting longer.
Nice.
So it's nice to be me.
That's right.
But anyways, talking about a buffet, which I will go and we'll talk about this place where a lot of people, and again, people forget about it, is Pier W in Lakewood.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's gorgeous. I mean, you have like a great setting looking at Lake Erie. and I believe it's only about $39, and they have everything from eggs, eggs Benedict to waffles to, they have, I believe, yeah, they have clams, they have mussels, they have oysters. I mean, everything that I love in a buffet, or everything that I love in a brunch.
I went to, real quick, and then we got to end the show and move over to minds.com, minds.com/Seth Williams Show. That's the extra content, Tony, where people have to pay to watch us. I went to a buffet at the Rio in Vegas.
Yes.
And it was something like $60 a person for us to go at the time. My wife and I went. And I swear to you, I'm not joking. By the end of the meal, I was stuffing spaghetti in my pocket trying to get my money. Oh, yeah. I was stuffing, yeah. Like, I was digging like clams out of like my sock, yeah. Because I was going to get my money's worth for that buffet. For paying $60 a person.
It's interesting you talk about those Las Vegas buffets, because they have like Chinese, they have Italian, they have Greek, they have little sections of the buffet, and that's why they're worth the money. Yeah. So
it was good, guys, but
yeah. So this week is Passover. Let me just leave you with this. This guy in the congregation actually is talking to his rabbi, and he tells the rabbi, he says, "I think my wife is trying to kill me." And the rabbi says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, every morning I get a cup of tea from her, and it's absolutely terrible. By the end of the afternoon, I am sick." So is this happening like the last couple of weeks, the last month? I'm getting sicker and sicker. He says, the rabbi says, "Give me your phone number. I'm going to call her." So he calls her, and then he sees the gentleman the next day. He says, "I talked to your wife for 4 hours. Actually, she had talked to me for 4 hours. He says, "Let me give you some advice. Drink the tea."
Thanks, Tony.
Tony Massaccia for the Seth Williams Show. I will talk to you next week. And we're talking burgers next week. Oh, and good. You can actually hear me every Saturday morning on Flashpoint 1490 WERE between 10 o'clock and 11. And I'm talking food and restaurants.
Nice. Thanks, Tony. See ya.
See ya, Tone.
All right, good stuff with Tony Massaccio. Yeah, fantastic. Thanks for joining us, Tony. Now it is time, though. It is that time of day.
It is.
It's a Wednesday, so that means on Wednesdays we do bonus content.
That's
bonus content can be seen on Minds, minds.com/Seth Williams Show. And you can sign up for $4.99 a month or, what, $50 for a year?
$50 for a year, yeah.
We need to make money, and that's the way we're going to do it. So
that's right.
I'm poor, so sign up, and we will talk to you at minds.com. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to Anthony Manichino for coming on the show today, MMA. And God willing, we'll talk to you again on Monday with our director that we'll have on.
Todd Tucker from the movie Rock Bottom.
That's on Amazon Prime. We'll talk to him on Monday. Have yourself a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you later, and we'll talk to you on Minds next.
Yep. See ya.
See ya.
The Classic Metal Show and Chris Akin Presents are proud to call Rumble our official video platform. No more being censored by fucking YouTube and other big tech platforms. All segments of The Classic Metal Show and Chris Akin Presents are available now on our Rumble channel. Follow our channel at www.rumble.com/C/CMS. Want it on your TV? Just install the Rumble app on your Roku, Amazon, Apple devices, and most smart TVs. We have the other shitty platforms for the lazy people, but why watch it censored when you can see our shows the way they were meant to be presented? Subscribe at www.rumble.com/C/CMS or search The Classic Metal Show on the Rumble app. Let's go!